Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text appointed for our consideration this morning is the portion of scripture that was just read by Carl from the lectern, the last four verses of the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Philippians. On the basis of this text, I want to speak to you this morning briefly on the topic, living a Christian lifestyle, or if you prefer, sanctification, gospel style. There are, from a Christian point of view, only two basic lifestyles in the world. There is the lifestyle of those men and women who live their lives according to the patterns and ways which were contrived and which are approved by this present world. They think as the world around them thinks. They speak as the world around them speaks. They act as the world around them acts. Their culture is the norm for their life. And then there is the lifestyle of Christian men and women who live their lives not according to the ways of the world, but according to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there is, or at least there is meant to be, a distinct and a definite and visible difference between these two lifestyles. In the opening verse of our text, Paul brings the distinctively Christian lifestyle into our vision when he says, only conduct yourselves, that is, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Here is sanctification, but it's sanctification gospel style. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ which is meant to determine the lifestyle of the Christian and the Christian church in this world. Not because the gospel is a new set of rules or a new law by which we are to regulate or to control our lives, but because the way we Christians live our lives in this world gives visibility and it gives weight and it gives reality to the gospel message. All Paul expects of Christians is that they live their lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. That's all. But what kind of a lifestyle is worthy of the gospel? What does Paul have in mind for us in the words of our text? First of all, it's a lifestyle that requires conscientious, diligent, and determined self-motivation by the Christian. It is a lifestyle that has its source and its strength within the Christian himself or herself. It is not forced upon us from without. That is to say, Christian living is gospel motivated, springing out from within the Christian. It's not law controlled, imposed from without upon the Christian. Paul expects the Philippian Christians to live as Christians and to do so on their own. Whether Paul is there with them or not should make absolutely no difference. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm. Secondly, we see that a Christian lifestyle commits Christians to standing firm in the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, note carefully here, Paul is not here just speaking to this Christian or that Christian one or the other of them, individuals in particular. Oh no, a Christian lifestyle is meant to describe more than just individual Christian performance. It concerns the whole body of Christ. The individual Christian is integrated into a distinct community. He or she is a living stone set into a living building by the living God. He or she is a member of the body of Christ, the one holy Christian church. And as such, Christians are to stand firm in the faith of the gospel, and they are to do so all together. That I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Christians are a people who breathe one breath. Christians are a people who have one mind. Christians are a people who live one life in one body, Christ. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. All Christians are to stand firm in the faith, and they are to do so together. The faith, or the teaching of the gospel, is the one rallying point for the entire Christian community. That is what prompted Martin Luther to revive the gospel in the church with such dogged determination in the 16th century. Because without the gospel, the church is dead. Dead. Stone cold dead. And it's not revived by handbooks. And it's not revived by rules. And it's not revived by regulations. And it's not revived by methods. And it's not revived by techniques. And it is not revived by committees. A Christian lifestyle reflects the righteousness and the unity which Christians have found by grace through the forgiveness of their sins in Jesus Christ. The church is specifically designed and built by her Lord to stand firm for the faith of the gospel and to do so all together. This brings us to the third and the final mark of the Christian lifestyle emphasized by Paul in our text. As members of the Christian church, we are expected by apostolic mandate not only to stand together, but also to strive together for the faith of the gospel. That I may hear of you, that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The Bible in your pews translates it, fighting side by side, like one man. If we Christians are to stand together, we've got to strive together for the faith of the gospel. If we do not strive together for the faith of the gospel, we will not stand together in the faith of the gospel. The church that strives together is the church that stands together. But why does Paul join the concept of striving to that of standing? Simply because in this life, Christians stand in the presence of a continuing and a continual opposition to their gospel. Therefore, to stand fast is to strive for. Furthermore, this anti-Christian opposition, according to our text, is imposing. It is powerful, and its strength is meant to threaten us and to terrify us. This was the opposition faced by St. Paul in the first century. The words of our text were penned from a prison cell. This is the opposition that Luther faced in the 16th century. Luther, outlaw from the empire, excommunicant from the church. And this is the same opposition that you and I as Christians, the Church of Jesus Christ today, faces in these closing years of the 20th century. My friends, make no mistake about this. But no matter how entrenched the opposition is, whether it be in the state or in the so-called church, we are to stand firm in the faith. We are not to be terrified, we are not to be frightened, and we are not to be alarmed. Our standing firm in the faith of the gospel is to those who oppose us a sign from God of their eventual destruction, and it's also a sign from God to us of our salvation. Philippians 1:28. Through the opposition and the suffering she experiences today, the church is engaging in the very same gospel strife and the very same gospel conflict as did her great apostle in the first century. And so Paul leaves us with these words to bolster us. For to you and me, every member of the Church of Jesus Christ, it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, Paul, and now here to be in me. Only as Christian believers face all opposition with firm confidence in the faith of the gospel, and only as Christian believers realize that the same grace of God which brought them to Christ now sustains them in their sufferings for Christ, and only as Christian believers experience the conflict, which is the common lot of God's people in every age. Read the last half of Hebrews chapter 11. It's no different now than it was then. Only then are we living an authentic Christian lifestyle. And this is the lifestyle which is truly worthy of the gospel of Christ, because this is the lifestyle which projects to those around us the Christ of that gospel. You want to hear about sanctification? Try Philippians 1:27 to 30 for size. One size fits all. This is Christian living, as St. Paul lived it. This is Christian living, as St. Paul knew it. This is Christian living, as St. Paul describes it to you and me. This is Christian living, as St. Paul recommends it to you and me. This is the Christian life, as it's meant to be lived in Christ in this present evil world. This is Christian living, gospel style. Can or should our own Christian, personal Christian lives really be any other than the gospel lifestyle pictured for us by Paul in the words of our text? God forbid, for Jesus' sake and for ours. May God grant us grace always to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.